Well, I have no relationship to disclose. I will start my presentation with an analysis of association between in situ data on the abundance of pupa of the mosquito vector of dengue, Aedes aegypti, and remote sensing data on precipitation and land surface temperature. This is looking at the possibility of using this technology to assess, to estimate the presence of this mosquito at a more regional and local scale. And then I will end up with a brief introduction about the new generation of NASA products that could be used for this type of applications. Well, remote sensing technology is being increasingly used in studies of habitat suitability of vectors of infectious diseases. Now, with the concern about climate change, there is a special interest about the potential range of expansion of the vector of infectious diseases. And remote sensing offers a tremendous advantage because of its suitability to cover large geographical areas very time and cost efficiently. Among the parameters that are more commonly monitored with remote sensing are rainfall and temperature, and this is because those are some of the more critical parameters determining the presence of vectors in the environment. This is a cross-sectional analysis that assesses the suitability of using remote sensing technology to estimate the presence of the mosquito vector. It uses the presence of pupa as indicative of the presence of the mosquito and use a transect in Mexico between Veracruz and Puebla as an area of study. This study is aimed to provide continuity to other projects that have been already funded by NSF and by NASA that have been on the analysis of coupling human and natural systems and on the study of the potential range of expansion of the mosquito dengue regarding the possibility of climate change. In fact, authors of those some projects already have found the mosquito to be present at elevations 300 meters beyond the level at which had been traditionally been found in the literature, which is suggestive of climate change. So, since temperature and precipitation are among the most critical parameters determining the presence of vectors of infectious diseases, it makes just sense that those are the main inputs for many of the models and early warning systems that are out there. For instance, CERVIR, a visualization system, presents an early warning system about malaria in Africa using precipitation and temperature as the main inputs. CERVIR is a joint program between NASA and USAID. There are other visualization systems related to NASA that also present an early warning system for other infectious diseases, also using temperature and precipitation as main inputs. And the malaria early warning system of the University of Columbia is another example. So all those early warning systems use a variety of data from different sensors of NASA products. But in special, two of them, the TRIM, the Tropical Rainfall Measuring Mission, and the AQUA satellite, they carry sensors that provide data on those critical parameters, precipitation and land surface temperature. And those are the sensors that provide the data that we are using in this analysis. So one of them is the Tropical Rainfall Measuring Mission. This is a joint mission between NASA and JAXA. JAXA is the Japanese version of NASA. So these satellites have different sensors that provide data for the product that we are using in this analysis. It's a product that generates data on tropical and subtropical rainfall, basically between 50 degrees north and 50 degrees south. This is an image from that product, and it's showing the area of study. I will talk in more detail about the study area in a few more slides. The in-situ data for this analysis was provided by researchers of the project funded by NSF. It was data coming from a survey, a field survey conducted by students of the Universidad Veracruzana and supervised by scientists of that university and from the National Center for Atmospheric Research. Those are some pictures taken during the process of data collection. Aculcingo and Puebla were two of the communities used in this study. And this is a shuttle radar topographic mission image. This is a mission taken by the shuttle Endeavour. It was a 11-day mission. He fly around the world taking images and covered the entire topography of Earth. And it's very useful for this type of studies. In this case, it's showing the transect between Veracruz and Puebla. Basically showing the different elevation levels covered along the transect. Those different elevation levels provide the opportunity of having different temperatures and provide the opportunity to study association at different temperatures, which is very convenient for studies about climate change. It showed the 12 communities. Each community is composed by four clusters. Each cluster is composed by about 12 to 13 premises, for an overall number of 48 to 50 premises per community. So when we overlay a trim layer on the study area, we get an idea of the spatial resolution, and we see that spatial resolution is a concern here, it's a limitation, because you see that several communities follow within the same pixel, which means that they will have the same reading in temperature. And that is clearly not an ideal situation, because there will be no possible to identify some difference associated to temperature, to precipitation, since they all will fall under the same precipitation. And when it comes to the cluster level, the problem is even more accentuated. We have here as an example Puebla and the four clusters in this community. All the premises in all those clusters will have the same reading in precipitation, which will not allow the noticeable difference in precipitation. Still, even with those limitations, at the community level, there were significant associations between the precipitation estimated with remote sensing and the abundance of pupa at the community level. That was not the case at the cluster level. The system was too coarse to detect differences. And then in next year, 1214 is expected to be launched a new mission, the Global Precipitation Measuring Mission, which will provide data on precipitation that will provide continuity to the monitoring programs that are currently going on with data on TRIN, with the advantage that this new data will have a much better resolution. So the application of this data at the local and regional scale will be much more accurate, much more applicable. So that's good news for this type of research using remote sensing technology. In the case of temperature, we use a product called land surface temperature from MODIS, which is strongly related to the ambient temperature. So it's so strongly related that it can be used instead as a proxy of ambient temperature. Here, the spatial resolution is much better. The pixel is only 1 kilometer, which is much better as compared with the 26 kilometers of the pixel in TRIM. However, there are also other limitations here. In order to have a nice image like this that covers with data the entire area of study, it's required to accumulate many days of imagery, because this area is covered with clouds most of the time. So this product used the visible section of the electromagnetic spectrum. So at that section of the spectrum, the radiation is reflected back in the clouds. So with much cloud cover, it means there is few data suitable for analysis. So there is the need to accumulate many days in order to get rid of the cloud. So here we have 30 days. With 15 days, still there is a good coverage of data. With 7 days, we start seeing more blank areas, areas with no data, because those are basically the areas covered with cloud. with 3 days, most of the communities are covered with clouds. And if we get only one day, we, in this case, we don't have any single premise that has data. Here again, even with those limitations, there were significant associations at the community level, but only when using day nighttime temperature. That was not the case with daytime temperature. It seems that this mosquito is sensitive to minimum temperature. So a minimum temperature happened during the night. So that is in agreement with what had been found with the researchers on the project funded by NSF. They also found that the minimum temperatures were more determinant of the presence of the mosquito. And similar case happened with the Anopheles, the vector of malaria in Africa. Those models that I showed initially, they use as a main input for the models night temperature and not day temperature. Night temperature and precipitation. At the cluster level, there was no association. And here again, as it was the case with DREAM, there is a new mission. This one was already launched, and there is already data on land surface temperature available, but it's in a so-called beta version because it still need more validation in order to be able to use this data for research. But it's already available. This data come from a sensor, the visible infrared imaging radiometer suit. It's a sensor on board of this satellite, the National Polar Orbiting Partnership. And this also will provide continuity to the monitoring programs already taking place with LST from MODIS, the sensor on board of the AQUAS satellite. And here again, there is a much better resolution. So the application of that will also increase. Those are just the numbers used for the associations that I presented. The data on LST, night and day, and the rainfall and the elevations of the different communities. So by the 2014, this is the expected constellation of satellites of NASA, all providing very useful data for multiple purposes in the case of public health and particularly in the case of infectious diseases. It will play a very important role, the two satellites that I have highlighted in yellow, the Global Precipitation Mission and the National Polar Partnership, which are those that will generate data on precipitation and temperature, those critical parameters determining the presence of vectors and in general infectious diseases, and also public health in general, because even chronic diseases can use this type of data. So even with the limitations that exist today with the current product, still some associations exist that are useful to use this product as tools to estimate the presence of the mosquito at the regional and local scale. And in the case of temperature, it's more important night temperature than LST in order to do those determinations. And if even with the current product, there are some useful associations, the future look very promising from the next year on when the new product will be available, those having much better resolution. So the application of this technology at the regional and local scale will significantly increase. So that will be a benefit for infectious diseases studies in general and in general for public health. And with this, I finish my presentation. Thank you so much.